Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Nathaniel Hackett, very tight-lipped about how he'll handle the running backs.
And we said we thought that they have to know who it's going
to
be.
They have to know. He says, we don't know. We're still working through it.
He says that for everything.
Well, he's got to get on the same page as his other coaches.
They're not on the same page?
I'm saying if you're going to go up with messaging to the media on a day like today,
right,
and your offensive coordinator is speaking 5 minutes after you speak,
uh-huh,
and out and says, Melvin Gordon is, quote, going to carry the load for the Broncos, end quote. And it's another quote, he knows we've got to lean on him now, end quote.
Yeah, you have no other choice.
There's your guy.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me a little bit of a situation 2021 training camp. Remember what happened?
Hold on. No, look, kind of talk. Give me a little bit more here.
Well, this
2021 training
camp. The coach is like, oh, well, you know, he's saying, well, we're going to work through this thing. We got to still go through our game plan. And another coach comes up there and just was like, it's Melvin Gordon, like not on the same page there with their story.
Okay, help me out. I'm not remembering.
Yeah, it was the Teddy Bridgewater taking reps. Well, why did this guy come in? It was like, well, he couldn't hear.
Oh, my God.
He couldn't hear out of it. And that was one thing. The other thing was,
yes,
that was just how the reps were going because it was Teddy Drew. All of a sudden, Drew got pulled.
Right.
And Teddy went in, and they weren't on the same page.
That's
with their lies.
Right.
With their lies.
That's
this
right.
This wasn't lies, but they're just not quite on the same page. That year, it was like, well, he couldn't hear. He had to get his headset fixed and his helmet. Then it was his plays were up, and it was Teddy's turn, and it was all just big lies. No one was on the same page. So this kind of reminded me a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Not to that degree, but just get on the same page.
Yeah.
It's Melvin. We know it's Melvin. Like you said a second ago, it's a running back. It's a running back. It doesn't really matter. Both those guys are going to play. It's not like we're talking about like you said, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry going to play.
Yeah.
This not the case here.
Right.
It was when, you know, Vic tried to hide the fact that our quarterback against the Chargers
was going to be Drew,
yeah,
instead of Brandon Allen.
Yeah. Like, you think Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator, is like, can't sleep at night going over the fact that, you know, who is he going to be, Brandon Allen or Drew Lock? I mean, come on.
Well, the troublesome part about that is it wasn't just into the microphone. They're actually still splitting the reps on a Friday.
Right.
And in which you knew Drew was starting 48 hours later.
It was all playing silly games.
And that's where that came from, playing silly little games.
For no reason.
So dumb. I mean, seriously, looking back on it, it's even dumber than what it was in the moment. And we called it out in the moment.
And it was real dumb then.
Yeah. Jeez.
Duper dumb.
Well, it's going to be Melvin Gordon. And I feel like, you know, we talked with James earlier. It feels like this thing is going to go one of two different ways. Melvin's going to run for 100 yards on the ground and help propel or be a major cog in a Broncos win. Or he's going to be below average and maybe coughs up the football again. And I just can't imagine that hometown crowd with the built-up frustration already that we saw against Houston, with the built-up frustration already from what they saw this past weekend on the road. If he comes home.
How about San Francisco? He fumbled twice.
Fumbled twice against San Francisco. Yes.
At home.
Yes, yes. But last week's was so egregious. And then if you put it on the rug for a sixth time in six football games, I don't know, during the time that you and I have been on the air, which this is our sixth football season now, we've heard some boos.
Yeah.
We've heard some the coaching staff booed. We've heard the offense booed in the first half against, was it the Chargers with Drew, and they couldn't get a first down. And we've heard Bowles booed when he had the triple crown hat trick against, I think it was the Bears. And this would surpass all of that.
I mean, we saw I don't know if it was Nathaniel Hackett or the play calling or the play clock, whoever it was, the analytics guy getting booed during the Houston game when they were counting down the clock. So, I think this might trump it all. I really do. I mean, because he's had some just back-breaking ones. What fumble did he have last year that got scooped and scored? Who was that against when he ran?
Was that against Kansas City?
Yeah, I think Kansas, right.
Well, he's got three scoop. He's got three fumbles.
Going to win that football game. That game was going to be won.
So he's got three scoop and score fumbles in the last 12 football games.
Yes. So it's not like you're just fumbling it. You're fumbling it at the worst times, and they're scooping it and bringing it back for six the other way. I just can't think what that reaction would actually be like if he does fumble, Zach. It will be really, really bad. Broncos country will let him have it. I mean, it'll be like New York. Be like New York fans. I mean, yeah. It will be brutal.
Like John Rocker coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Like Rocker.
Shea Stadium.
John Rocker.
Yeah. Yeah, like that.
Get the batteries.
It will be really bad. It will be really bad. I don't think he'll fumble. Just kind of going off odds and like, can't happen again, can it?
Well, if you're going off odds, then you'll probably see a fumble.
I know.
You hope that it goes against the odds.
It just can't happen again. That's what I'm saying. I mean, can't.
But Stoke, it can.
I know.
It's just a matter of will it or won't it. It definitely can happen.
I don't think it will.
Okay.
I hope you're right. I think in the end, this is the right play from the Broncos. Now, it could cost them, but you really don't have many other options if you're Nathaniel Hackett and this offensive staff. You really don't. You got to hope that it works out, right? You only have so many players, and he is a good football player if he can just hold on the football. But the only way, you're going to need Melvin Gordon. Javonte's done. You're going to need, like, if you're trying to get to a winning record and possibly to the playoffs, you're going to need Melvin Gordon at his best. Okay? And he can be at his best now, Zach. Guess what? He should be the starter and the guy. This is when he, you know, can thrive. Surprised we didn't see him tweet anything about.
Yeah. Now he can play free, see what he does with it.
Yeah. Surprised he didn't do that. So, but you're going to need Melvin Gordon to play well. And so you might as well figure it out now if you can count on him or not. Being the starter.
Okay, here we go, man. Yeah. I'm going to be like, hey, let me ask you this. Me, Mike, and D-Mac were talking about this yesterday at Mile High Station. Do you believe that Melvin Gordon just gets booed out of the gate, whether he fumbles or not?
Ooh.
Because Mike Evans was like, Broncos country is just, and the Houston, the first home game being an example, it seems combustible. Right now.
Yeah, it does. It does. I think he does get some boos. I think he does. They probably won't introduce the offense because if they introduce him, he gets booed.
We talked about this.
You did.
We talked about this. This is the week that you introduce the defense, and I don't care what the schedule is.
Right.
Because Melvin has proved to be like mentally fragile, and we played that clip yesterday of him talking about it straight up. Like, I've never seen anything like that in my life. If you missed it, it's on my Twitter timeline, the video of it. You can follow me at Byzline. You can follow Stoke at BStokely14. So, like, you already know, like, he can get in his own head, as his words said. If they introduced the offense and he got booed at home, that could make an impact. So, yeah, defense. Let's introduce those guys.
Introduce the defense. But, you know, what happens whenever he gets the first carry? Does he get booed after, you know, if it's a no-yard gain? I just think you need to introduce a defense, and hopefully he doesn't fumble it, because if he fumbles one time, I mean, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Wow.
From the fan base side of things.
What's Idro Evero, defensive coordinator, saying after his defense got gutted for 212 yards on the ground this past week? We'll hear from him next. Defensive coordinator Idro Evero moments ago at the podium.
All right, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Coach, it was a little bit of a war of attrition on Sunday with Josh Jacobs. Defense had moments where they stopped, and then he broke off a big one. How do you go back and kind of find consistency inside the run game defensively, especially on a short week?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for us is just, you know, not trying to do too much, just playing our core fundamentals. And I think sometimes, you know, as coaches and players, you have a tendency to want to make a play to win the game and press. And, you know, we just got to trust the process one play at a time. Stay disciplined with our fundamentals. Stay disciplined in how we're calling the game, all those things, and we'll be just fine.
I think they mentioned, the Raiders did after the game, that they could tell you guys were
trying to strip the ball. A lot, I think Josie made that same point. Is it a fine balance? You guys want to play aggressive and get the ball out, but also kind of have to make the extra.
Yeah, no question. The first man's got to secure the tackle, and then the next man in has got to go for the ball, and, you know, we just got to be cognizant of that.
How much will it hurt losing Randy Gregory, and who do you expect to step up in his role?
Well, everybody's got to step up. It's going to hurt because he's a very good player, and he's been doing a really good job, but, you know, it's a great opportunity for Barron, great opportunity for Nick, and whoever else gets an opportunity.
How'd you build up Pastor Tan's job against
Devontae? That's probably about as good as it gets, covering that guy. He's probably the best receiver in the league, and he did a good job and stood toe-to-toe.
With Nick, what's better now? He's got a better now, or
well, you know, he's just done a good job in practice in terms of a conscious approach to getting better, whether he's on the scout team or taking reps, and I think that's where it starts. You just got to have a mindset that I'm going to improve every day, and which has been cool because it just didn't start last week. He's been doing this for the last couple of weeks, and so it's perfect timing for him.
What's the difference with the Colts with Jonathan Taylor and without him?
Well, he's a great player, so, you know, I don't feel like they would be as good, but, you know, I'm fully expecting him to play.
In a couple of weeks now where you've gotten wide receiver, you've got linebackers covering wide receivers out of the backfield, there's something you can do schematically to fix that, or is that just going to happen in game in, game out situations?
Yeah, you know, that's all part of, you know, the defensive approach, and, you know, those guys aren't out there covering by themselves. They're always helped, but, you know, we just got to keep things mixed up and want to keep giving different looks to the offense.
Do you feel like they just tempo a little bit to try to keep you from...
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, they did. They did some different things, and they had a good plan. Give them credit. They played well, and but we can be better, too.
Roughly a quarter of the way through the season, how do you feel about your defense?
I feel good. I feel good. You know, it's a long journey, 17 games, and we have to have the mindset everybody does to get better each week, and, you know, you always want to correct the mistakes, and as long as you're working towards the right direction and everybody's getting better each week, learn from your mistakes, we want to play our best football at the end of the year, and that's what we're working towards.
So, obviously, the natural pass rush ability from Barron, that can't miss the position. How is he done sort of picking up the run support and everything else that goes to?
Yeah, he's been getting better. He's been getting better. Last week was his best week playing the run game. And, you know, he hasn't got as many rush opportunities just because of Randy and Chubb. So he'll have an opportunity to show more of that now.
Lawrence, a few turnovers here to start the year. What have you seen from him these first 4 weeks as he's
trained? Really the same player that he's been his career. Smart, knows where to go with the ball. He's decisive. He cuts the field in terms of his decision-making. You know, they've had some stuff with protection where he's got hit and stuff like that. But, man, this is still a really good quarterback.
PJ, talk about more, you know, stuff and playing that and all that. Where you go for that sort of particular role to try to fill this spot?
Yeah, it's got to be all hands on deck. We got to use linebackers. Whoever's up in terms of the secondary has got to be ready to fill in. And, you know, we got to use whoever we got.
The Colts have three tight ends that they can use. So how does that complicate your job this week? Because most teams have like one or two tight ends. Colts have three that can get after you.
Yeah, we just got to be we got to do a good job at identifying what they do with those guys, how to utilize them, you know, we got to put them in good positions, understanding what they how to utilize those tight ends, and then the guys got to recognize it and go play.
Coach, thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Ejiro Evero, defensive coordinator at the podium. Stoke, he said he's expecting Jonathan Taylor to play. Not sure if that's going to happen, but that's a, you know, we were talking about, you know, is Melvin going to be the starter or not? And we're like, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, is Derrick Henry going to play? Jonathan Taylor is kind of part of that type of conversation.
Yeah.
Got to turn your mic on and do it.
Yeah.
A strike two, bud.
Yep, I got one more strike. So hopefully I'm on pace for... to make it today, to not get struck out today. So,
we'll see.
Yeah, 40 minutes left and
we'll see.
One strike left. It'll be close. It's going to come down to the finish line.
We'll see. Like the Rockies win total.
Yeah. Man. Shh. Don't talk. Don't
okay.
talk about it.
Okay. Okay.
Talk about tomorrow.
Okay.
After they get that dub tonight. Let's go, baby.
Oh, my God.
I like Ejiro Evero, and that's the way you should approach this thing. That their best player is going to stink and play. That's the way you game plan everything. And then he doesn't play. It's easy to adjust to the next guy up. Because Jonathan Taylor can do it all. I mean, he is one of those types of running backs. I mean, he's a top three running back, if not the best running back. I mean, last year he's the best running back.
Yeah.
So he is a force to be reckoned with. And You know, if he doesn't play, that's good news for the Broncos. If he does play, you should be prepared. But I really like Ejiro Evero, his approach, how he talks, how he goes about his business, how he looks on the sideline, just calm, cool, and collective, you know, and he has the right mindset, obviously, been around the game. So I think he's a really good defensive coordinator. And, you know, he might be one of those guys that if this defense can play well this year, that he starts getting looks as a possible head coach somewhere.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about that. He said, talking about the biggest thing for the run defense is not trying to do too much. What does that mean?
Well, you know, it goes back to do your job. And all of a sudden, you know, hey, your head placement or your gap assignment, you know, it's supposed to be the A gap and you're peeking to the B gap or you're, you know, something like that. And then the guy goes in the A gap. You're just trying to do your job. Linebackers, where are you feeling? Safeties, where are you feeling for the run game? Where, you know, you have this gap, you have this area and you got to hold it up. Sometimes you get moved out of the way. Right. But everyone's just got to do their job. And that's what happens. So it's a snowball effect because, you know, it's like, hey, I did my job last time, and that guy just ran for 20 yards. You know, let me try to help out this guy this time, and then, you know, you get exposed. So it's a tough thing, and sometimes it can be a snowball effect where everybody is just like one play they do their job, and the next play they're not doing their job because they're trying to help out everyone else.
Right.
So that's really what it comes down to. And you heard one of the players after the game was talking about, well, we're trying to strip the ball too much. And instead of, you know, wrapping up and getting a tackle, and certainly some of that happens, but you know, you always, first and foremost, especially at the line of scrimmage area, you got to wrap, and then when you come to the party, you know, those guys go for the ball.
Right.
But the first guy's got to
handle that primary business.
Exactly.
All right. With their actions, this coaching staff is screaming that they're down on one Denver Bronco. We'll take a dive into that conversation coming up next. With their actions, the Broncos coaching staff is screaming how much they're down on one player. Now, Nathaniel Hackett was asked about this particular player, and he said, every game is different. It takes on a life of its own. And he's right. Every game is different for Albert Okwuegbunam. In week number one, he played 44 snaps. In week number two, he played 38 snaps. In week number three, that dropped to 24 snaps. And in week number four, he played one singular snap. So every week is different. It's got less and less of Albert Okwuegbunam, Stoke.
Yeah, I don't. Nathaniel Hackett said Albert O is doing fine. You know, once again, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. His actions are telling us that Albert O is not doing fine, and they trust other guys. They trust Albert a lot more. He was their three wide tight end. And, you know, you saw the chemistry that him and Russ had in training camp, and obviously Russ trusts him more, and he's made some plays for Russ.
He has.
And so that's going to get you on the football field more, and you just saw that transition from game three to game four. And now what will it look like moving forward? I don't see them backtracking off of that. I didn't see Salbert do anything in the game to make him lose that spot. So we'll see what it looks like moving forward. But I'm expected to kind of be the same, and maybe Albert O plays a few more plays. But, you know, you're looking at 8-10 plays at the most now, not the 30s and the 40s that we saw the first couple weeks.
Cecil Lammy, a great friend of this show, longstanding great friend, DenverFan.com. What do you make of this combo?
Yeah, you ain't got to lie to kick it, Craig. You ain't got to lie to kick it, because that's what all the Broncos coaches sounded like up there talking about Albert Okwuegbunam. Now, I thought it was funny, Stoke, when Justin Outen was like, oh, I have a feeling this role, you know, this week's role will be larger. Oh, it's one snap, bro. Like, one snap. Like, right. Okay, so you are telling the truth. It should be larger. But with your playing time, you're basically saying you hate Albert O and you're disappointed in what he's doing. That's what they're telling you with his role. Don't give me this other stuff about, oh, every week game plan is different. No, it's not. Not if you're a player. If you're a player, they put you in the game plan. And any one of these three Colts tight ends, because they have three, make no doubt about it. It's not just Mo Alie-Cox. It's not Colin Granson, SMU, what's up?
Jelani Woods,
yeah, the touchdown hog. Any one of those three are better than anybody the Broncos have.
Mm. Well, see, and Like, I mean, it's not like Albert O's been doing anything.
Right,
so
right.
He had an opportunity, didn't take advantage of it. They think there's guys better than him. I mean, that's what they're telling us, right?
Yeah, and they're waiting for Greg Dulcich. I can't believe this morning Mike Kliss was saying, like, hey, you know, Dulcich could play in week five. I don't think so. He's not practicing yet. They haven't started his clock, I believe is what Nathaniel Hackett said. So when they do, the countdown is on, but Greg Dulcich isn't a great blocker either.
How long do they have once they start the clock?
I think it's, 3 weeks, right?
Okay.
Once they activate that and they say he's back, then they have 3 weeks to actually put him on the roster and all that, and then they have to make a decision and cut somebody else. But, like, it's Dulcich's job. They want it to be Dulcich. The problem is he's a rookie. He doesn't really block that well.
And he hasn't practiced.
How much has he
practiced since training camp?
Like a day or two?
Right. That was it.
And he's back on the rehab field.
Yeah.
Any other updates there from practice? So what you're seeing out there, any injured guys that we might see more, might see less of?
Well, I think
there?
It's going to be a lot of Melvin Gordon this week, and I hate that for Broncos country because, I mean, if he fumbles one more time, they just cut him. Seriously, I heard you guys talking earlier, like, what is it? What happens if he fumbles again? You just cut him. Latavius Murray, when I wrote about it at DenverFan.com yesterday, I was so proud, right? I got to write about Abram Smith, who I love, undrafted kid from Baylor that was in the Saints camp. I got to write about trading for Alexander Mattison or Kareem Hunt, maybe getting Duke Johnson off your Bills practice squad. And then it was Latavius Murray, and as I was checking around the league, I didn't think the Saints... Murray just had 57 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Two days ago, 11 carries. Right. I didn't think the Saints would actually let him be available. So it's a remarkable move. The Broncos do like him, but he doesn't know what he's doing yet. So a short week kind of makes you go, okay, give me two more weeks, and then we'll see Latavius Murray potentially take over in this backfield.
Cecil Lammy live in studio with us. The two major injuries, the two blows to the Broncos this week, Javonte Williams, yes. Randy Gregory. We hope Randy Gregory is back in a few weeks, but over the next month, who will this football team miss more, Javonte Williams or Randy Gregory?
I think it's Randy Gregory, and I wouldn't have said that a while ago. And as you know, I love Javonte Williams, but I think they're about to change. Now, this is me just guessing, okay? Total guess, not a lassie bark, but... I think they're about to change offensively, where you're going to see the air filled with footballs. I think you almost have to. One, it's Wilson cooking. It's Wilson doing his thing. And Wilson kind of getting a little perturbed there in that Raiders game, which I like seeing. I like seeing that. Like, Hackett, you can implement that stuff later. Right now, you got to win. And that's what Russell Wilson said at the podium today. Like, what's improvement look like? Win. W. Win. How do they do that? That could come through more of Russell Wilson. So that might mean... more of the passing game, more of KJ Hamler, maybe a dash more of Montrell Washington. Can he do something on offense to help out? Does Jerry Jeudy do anything? I'm actually surprised they didn't shop Jerry Jeudy for a running back, but that's just me. But, like, you could see that change where running back becomes less important. Latavius Murray is a great receiver out of the backfield, and he doesn't fumble. So you have that guy who can play that role for your team. You don't really need that banger, and if you did, he can do that as well. So I think you might see a change philosophy-wise for the Broncos offense, which means, yeah, you'll miss Randy Gregory. And you should have known better. Guy's never played full 16, once in his career, top of my head?
No, I don't think he's ever. Yeah.
Ever at all.
No.
Yeah. So this is what you get, Broncos, when you sign up for Randy Gregory.
How about Billy Turner? What's his situation? And then one other guy I want to get your thoughts on.
Super quick on the Turner thing.
Yeah.
It's weird because they're like, he's banged up. I've heard the opposite. I've heard he's fine. He's just not looking real good. So whatever is the truth, Stoke, that's for you to determine. But I've heard he's fine. He's just not looking real good.
Well, I think right now, like, how much are they really practicing right now to get a good look at him to determine that? Well, so Billy Turner, all right. I mean, hopefully at some point he can play. I guess that's kind of where we're at, right? I mean,
we've been told he's close for like 8 weeks now.
Right. And he gets on the field, then he just disappears. And like, just close.
And now
close.
He's back to not practicing, though, right? Like, isn't he not practicing?
Yeah.
I believe that's the case. So the whole thing's confusing.
What have you heard anything about Justin Simmons? Because they put him on injured reserve after the first game. So
He's
able to come off of injured reserve after this game.
Yes.
Right?
And I believe Simmons will be out there and will be back in action.
Okay.
Yeah, and that'll be a boost for this Broncos defense
me and my over 3.5 interceptions season total that I have.
Yes. You're going to get it. You're going to get it.
You think, I know, I gave up on that.
You gave up on that?
Well, because, I mean, it's 3.5 interceptions, and he was on IR. He doesn't have one yet, and we're going to be what?
You got 11 games.
They can come in bunches.
One every three games? Right.
Right. So don't give up on it.
Don't give up on it. Go up against Trevor Lawrence or something. Might get you one. Okay. Zach Wilson will get you another one. Okay. Like, you got some guys coming up you can get them from.
How important is this football game here this Thursday?
I've heard it called a must win, and I know people get upset. Like, don't say must win. Like, hey, yeah, it kind of is. Just to right the ship and show these fans, hey, the Avs just started. You know how many people... And it's not just Twitter, which don't get me started on a Twitter rant. But you know how many people are like, man, screw it. I'll just go root for the Avs. What are the Nuggets doing? Right? You're not the only thing in town anymore, Broncos. And they know that. They know it bothers them. They do know that.
Well, look, if you don't win on a short week at home with a Colts team.
With no Jonathan Taylor?
Especially if they don't have JT. The following week, you're back in primetime on the road. Facing a quarterback who's leading the league in yards right now, and Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Now, they haven't, you know, looked...
And Keenan Allen should be back by that game.
Should be, right? Mm-hmm. Coming back from a hamstring.
Yep.
They looked much better this past week. They scored 34 points. The importance of this football game to get back above 500, I'm not going to sit here and call it a must win, but I don't... Also, you cannot overstate the importance of this one. You just can't.
You can't overstate the importance for Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, he's happy, fun baby star. Everybody loves him. Woo! Not everybody loves him. In fact, they don't. But
he's
like,
happy, fun baby star.
He's happy, fun baby star. Like, that's my nickname for Nathaniel Hackett. And it's like, cool. We love your attitude, dude. If you don't win, you're gone. Sorry. It's Walton Penner Group. They didn't come here. They didn't pay $4.5 billion to be mediocre. They didn't pay $4.5 billion to be the third best team in Denver. Nobody's counting the Rockies. Sorry, Stoke. We won't talk about it. But like... You didn't pay all that money.
Two more wins.
You're going to make changes if you don't get this thing right.
And I'm just going to say it, and I know I'm not the first to say it, but Sean Payton's waiting around looking. He's going to be back in the league next year.
Yeah.
Sean Payton's going to be back. He's going to want to join an organization. He talked about it. That's stable. That's got good ownership.
And cash is no longer a problem.
It's no longer a problem. You know, Russ hasn't looked like old school Russ, but it's also Russell Wilson. How appetizing is that for Russell, who wants to be Drew Brees, for a guy who coached Drew Brees? So very interesting.
You know, this is a conversation, you know, that you can really get into it unless Hackett just really takes off and they have a winning record and possibly get to the playoffs. Now, all of a sudden, everything's in play here. When you talk about an ownership group that didn't hire him. And have unlimited resources, and you know we'll learn a lot about those guys if it's up in the air and if it's a situation where it could happen. I mean, they just put their foot down like, that's not our guy. Here's your check. You're gone. We're writing that big check for Sean Payton, or we're writing this big check for whoever coach. So that's interesting. But hopefully it's not in play because Broncos win. Broncos win. It's all good.
Yep. All right, we'll circle back to that conversation tomorrow. That's an interesting one. Cecil Lammy, the one and the only. Thanks for being here, brother.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, okay. CU football, Brandon Stokely, has a very important decision to make that will impact the football program and thus the university for years to come. And I have four names to keep an eye on, and I'll pass those along coming up next. As we sit here in the Superbook.com studios on the big screen showing Nuggets highlights from last night. We talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. If you missed it, it's an hour number one. And then I'm going to sign off here with you and go record the Mile High Hoops podcast. It'll be posted later this afternoon. I encourage folks to check that out. This will be season number 5 of the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Look at that. All grown up now. So cute.
What's a flaming means?
Oh, my gosh. CU football fired their coach this past week after, I believe it was a 23-point loss to Arizona. Okay?
After improvement.
That was improvement.
Yeah.
That was improvement.
Their lowest loss of the season, right? Is that said right?
Correct. Still.
A 23-point loss was their lowest of the season.
Right.
Unbelievable.
It was, I think, the sixth time in college football history that the first four games were all losses of 25 points or more.
not necessarily 25-23. Arizona did cover the spread. So CU football, Vegas is trying to catch up with how bad they are. And
they can't do it.
They literally can't
they just
do it.
Can't.
So you're 0-5 in real life, but you're 0-5 against the spread as well. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. But this decision that Rick George has to make, athletic director of Colorado, that he's got to make, this will have an impact on the football program for years to come, and thus the university for years to come. It's a massively important decision for that school.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it is the most important hire of Rick George's tenure. You can't keep firing coaches and coaches leaving every couple of years. You just can't do it. The spotlight becomes, you know, starts to shine bright on you.
Right.
I like Rick George. He's done a good job at CU, but you got to get this football program up to par.
Yeah.
You just have to do it. You have to hire the right stinking coach. That's why I thought it was important to do what he did during the season. You can't wait to after the season anymore, right? If you know you're going to do it, do it. They did it. And now you got to find the right guy.
That's the task.
And it's got to have a coach. You got to have the right coach to recruit in college football and then to develop the guys also.
That's right. Recruit them, develop them, then re-recruit them,
keep them.
Right? Yep. I mean, it's just the CU Buffaloes had 21 full scholarship players transfer out of the program year over year. You know, when they had, I heard this, I think it was Chad talking about it. You know, they had a day where they had like 8-10 guys leave their program in one day. Carl Durrell wasn't around. You know, he was on other recruiting trips. Like, and I get it. It's tough. But this next decision is going to reverberate up in Boulder for years to come. And it might be, if he doesn't get it right, it might be the last head coach that Rick George ever hires. So the importance on this one can't be overstated. Rick George said, quote, "I promise you that I will work hard as it possibly takes to return our football program to glory. I'm more confident than ever in Colorado football, and we will find a leader that will get us back to prominence. I'm energized about going out to find that individual," end quote. So let's talk about some of the individuals.
Let's talk about it.
I have four names that I think we should be keeping an eye on, okay? But before I give you it, I've done some thinking in the last 24 hours. You were right, Brandon Stokely.
Oh, wait, what?
Say
that again?
I said, you were right, Brandon Stokely.
Save it.
Hashtag save audio.
Uh-huh.
I think I let my admiration for Troy Calhoun and what he's built at Air Force bleed into a totally separate situation.
That's fine.
While I do think Troy Calhoun will be on their list, because don't forget, when they hired Carl Durrell back in 2020, they interviewed Troy Calhoun. So there's some level of interest from Troy Calhoun in the first place. So I think he may be in the mix, but I'm just a fan of that little fiefdom that he's built down there in Colorado Springs. Sure. And so that's probably, but I got four names separate from Troy.
And NCA, mind your business over there, messing with Air Force.
That's right.
We'll get back into that in a second.
That's right.
That's fun. I got more. You got more ammo for NCA coming at Air Force. Our armed services. Yeah. Come on, man.
Like, of all the schools, you're going to try to put a microscope over his Air Force and what they did in a COVID dead period.
Right.
And a couple extra sleepovers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not going on down there in the SEC?
Right.
What are they doing in the Big Ten? Everyone's squeaky clean?
Yeah.
It's Air Force? Come on now.
We're going to try to put the hammer down on Air Force? Come on.
We said yesterday they need to send one of those jets I see flying over, you know, around Buckley.
Right.
You need to do a little flyover to the NCAA facility.
We'll send them a message real quick.
All right. Here's four names to keep an eye on.
Okay.
Go one at a time. And I'm taking these. I plucked these from an article from Brian Howell, who does Daily Bowler Camera, Buff Zone. He covers the program as close as anyone. He put a list together. His list was longer than list, but I think these were the four interesting names. Okay?
Love it.
Gary Patterson.
Okay.
Who is currently a special assistant at Texas. Howell said, his incredibly successful run at TCU came to an end after he and the school parted ways midway through the 2021 season after the Horned Frog started 3-5. But from 2001 to 2020, he went 178-73, 17 bowls, 7 top 10 finishes. He says, in conclusion, the defensive-minded head coach is in his first season with Texas. Hiring Patterson would make for an intriguing opener in 2023 as the Buffs visit TCU.
I love it. He did a great job at TCU. I think he's got a statue outside there.
He was
great. They had to fire him last year, you know, whatever. He was great. Took that program from nowhere to just prominence and, you know, playing big-time games. I really, and this is a veteran coach that knows the game. He knows the game, right? And he's been through it all. I like that. I like that a lot. That makes a lot of sense. I can get excited about that. Good football coach.
So if they hired him, that would put a pep in your step.
Heck yeah. Okay. Heck yeah, it would.
Okay.
This guy's a proven winner.
Sure. Over a 20-year sample
TCU,
size at a high level.
At that time?
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Right. Okay. The next name. Name number two of the four. I'm getting flashbacks of a song from Shangri-La's from back in the day. Vroom, vroom, leader of the pack. Look out. No. It's Bobby Petrino.
Wait. Oh, Bobby P? Come on, let's go for a ride.
I don't know if I can handle Bobby Petrino. Give it to me. Go ahead.
He's at Missouri State right now, which is at the FCS level in the Missouri Valley Conference, like one of the two best conferences of that 1AA level. Brian Howell said, quote, there is plenty of baggage from Petrino's past, and it would be a hard sell to CU administration because of that. But Petrino's a winner. He's 15-11 at Missouri State, but 134-65 overall as a head coach, with stops at Louisville twice, Arkansas, and Western Kentucky. Took teams to 11 bowls in 14 seasons at the FBS level. The Montana native also has several years experience as an offensive coordinator.
Look, I mean, this is kind of what you have to do. You know, we laugh about it. I was like, I don't know if I can handle him. You need to win. That's first, second, third, fourth, and fifth on the list. You need to win.
So you might need to plug your nose a little bit with something.
Plug your nose, cover one of your eyes, and just say, you know, just squint.
Put a neck brace on and say, you know what, screw it.
Put a neck brace on. You don't know what we're talking about. Google Bobby Petrino.
Petrino motorcycle.
Yeah.
The Band-Aid's all over its
face. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
What a mess.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
So bad.
Stop. So, yes, put him on the list. I mean, you have to be able to recruit. You have to do these things. You look around college football. Universities make these hires all the time. Ole Miss hired Lane Kiffin. I mean, Alabama brought back in Lane Kiffin. I mean, all the stuff going on with him.
Look what Sark's been through.
Yeah,
look where he's at.
Right. Now, all of a sudden, he's coaching again. He's coaching at Texas. I mean, so this is just the name of the game. Either get on board or just hire, choir boys and
hire Carl Durrell.
And win no games
and
get blown out.
Yeah.
So this is what you just have to do. And Bobby Petrino is a winner in college, right? He knows how to win in college football. So once again, I'm sure you give us some entertainment stuff too.
I'm sure.
So why not? Yes. Yes, I'm on board with that one, too, and I could get excited about it because it would be a fun ride.
Oh, there you go.
Might be a bumpy ride.
Oh, my God. All right, here's name number
maybe
three.
We could try to raise money for charity. Raffle off motorcycle rides with Coach Petrino.
Oh,
if you got
God.
The job, right? Like, hey, you get a five-minute ride, 100 bucks from Bobby P.
God.
You got to get on the back.
A five-minute ride with Bobby P.
And he'll wear a neck brace for another 100.
Oh, my God. All right, here's name number three that we should keep an eye on with the next CU hire.
Oh, my gosh.
Tom Herman. Tom Herman, who's currently an analyst right now with CBS Sports. He was fired by Texas in 2021, 4 days after his depleted roster routed CU 55-23 in the Alamo Bowl. But he went 32-18 with four bowl wins, three consecutive top 25 finishes in four seasons at Texas, but that wasn't good enough for Texas. It's more than good enough for Boulder. Herman also went 22-4 in two seasons as Houston's head coach. Prior to being a head coach, he spent 10 years as an OC at four stops at Texas State, Rice, Iowa State, and Ohio State.
Yeah,
that's an interesting one.
I think
one.
He has a little baggage, too. Wasn't he at the Gentleman's Club or something? Wasn't that him?
Maybe he's getting dinner.
Yeah, no, but there was some stuff that came out after that, too, though.
Okay.
So he's got, I think, some stuff in the closet, like, just not some stuff in the closet
sure.
also.
But when you're in a position like CU.
Right, just like we said.
Like Iona, you'll say, yeah, we'll take Rick Pitino.
Right.
What do you do at the attack? It wasn't just getting meatballs. Okay, no, but we'll still take them.
Yeah, that's at Louisville. That has nothing to do with it. We're trying to win basketball games
right
here. So, and KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. You weren't even paying attention, but I just jumped on it.
It's getting closer back to where the rules were.
Yes. Yeah, Tom Herman, good football coach. I mean, he's done well. Coached at Texas. So, look, all...
You're looking for anything. I got one more name for you.
Okay.
He's currently working at ESPN. Dan Mullen. Like Herman, he was fired from his last job because he couldn't live up to high expectations. But Brian Howell says he still had a successful run at Florida from 2018 to 2021. He went 34-15 with three bowls, three top 13 finishes. Prior to that, he was 69-46 with eight consecutive bowls at Mississippi State.
Yeah, he was really good at Mississippi State. He fell on his face there at Florida last year. Was awful with the media. Just absolutely fell on his face. He would be last on my list. Where's Bourbon Urban?
Bourbon Urban.
Where's he at? Is he not on the list?
He's
at
number one.
He's doing Big Noon Kickoff for Fox.
I know, but is he on your list? Where would you put him? Would you try to get him?
If you had an opportunity and he would take your call, you call him 1,000%.
Probably not taking it.
We just talked a little bit about him yesterday, so I didn't put him on this list.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, if he takes your call, you're CU. You have two winning seasons in the last 16 years.
Bourbon Urban.
It's one of the worst starts in college football history ever.
You're not going to win a game this year. So maybe you win one, maybe.
I know.
But that's it. I know. I mean, but that's it.
Hey, you're going to be set up well for the draft. I'm sorry.
No draft.
No.
And here's the other thing in terms of draft. CU has put their own restrictions on themselves for a transfer standpoint. You got to jump through hoops to get to CU from a transfer. It's like Ivy League level transferring that you need to get into CU. They need to loosen up their... If you're going to take the football program seriously, loosen up the restrictions, make some concessions, plug your nose, and move forward.
Never seen so many people move so fast.
I'll tell you what,
well,
man.
I mean, to put this guy in the seat, oh my gosh. I mean, we got the bosses in here moving chairs for this guy.
What's up?
Hey, what a cool event.
What's up, buddy?
Welcome. Hey, welcome.
Hold on. We got to get your mic on.
There he is.
Is it working?
No,
of course not.
Mic check.
Yeah, come over here.
People move today.
Dude, what a cool event yesterday at Mile High Spirits. What a unique event. 500 fans there for your debut.
I mean, a lot of hype. Hopefully I don't screw it up.
Nah, I think it'll be okay. You're going to be fine.
It'll be okay.
It was like a wrestler's entrance. It was sweet.
With the NWO shirts? It was awesome.
You can't beat it.
I'm just waiting for Stokes, since I'm a rookie again, you're not going to, dump water on my
beard. No, I'm going to... that was one of the scarier moments of my life, was when I put the water thing up. Peyton, Decker, they all jammed out. This was during training camp, and the door opened, and there was Wolfie, and then behind Wolfie was Malik Jackson, because y'all were roommates. Yeah. I'm like, where's the rest of the guys? And it didn't go very well for me. So thank goodness I didn't get killed.
When were you guys teammates? Like, what 12. Was
2012?
1 year.
Yeah.
1 year.
Yeah. That was one of the more fun years I had in my career. I
mean, that was
so much fun. Now, obviously you were a part of a Super Bowl, but that was so much fun.
Was that the best Broncos team overall?
Well, I mean, he played on,
he played on the best defense. On the best defense. But overall, was that the best Broncos of that 4 years?
Well, because our defense was just so good, to go with that offense. And we were just flying on all cylinders at that time of year.
We should have never lost to the Ravens in the playoffs. I mean, we had a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the great thing about the NFL. Right? If you just slip up one time, it's not best out of five, best out of seven. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We just quite weren't on top of our game.
No, man. It's painful.
It's just the way it works. It is. Welcome, Wolfie. I got to roll.
You got to go. Of course you got to go.
I got to pick up my son from school. Welcome, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
And y'all have a great first show. Looking forward to listening to it.
We'll do this again tomorrow. Play Stock Watch on a Wednesday and start looking ahead to the Indianapolis Colts.
All right. See, Derek, what you have to understand is he should get overtime for how long he was just here, to be quite honest with you. So whatever.
1 hour, 1 minute and 50 seconds.
That is amazing. That's how much he respects you, by the way. Because that was grinding right there. That was it right there. So there you go.
Thank you, Stoke.
Yeah.
Just for you, bud.
Don't expect it tomorrow.
Really, really, really unique event yesterday.
Yeah, that was cool.
From a promotion standpoint, the way that they dressed that place up to the attendance from, like, our clients, from other hosts from the station, they're supporting you. I mean, it was... And then 500 members of Broncos Country, they're the backbone of what we do, and it was just so cool to see it. You know, sometimes you sit in this room and you forget how many people you're actually talking to.
Yeah.
And to see them, it was just really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, what kind of feedback do you get?
I mean, everybody was positive about it. There's a couple people on social media, you know, hating on me because I'm a Republican. But other than that, they're like, oh, here goes another Republican. I'm like, what does that matter? What does that have to do with any of this?
Well, we'll see.
But that was really good.
I don't know. I mean, if that's the worst type of hate that you got, you'll be fine.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Yeah, you're doing all right. It's It is funny, like, how in touch or how much have you been paying attention, seriously, to what's been going on here? Because it would seem easy to sort of just say, hey, man, I need a break. I need to tap out a little bit.
Well, I had the whole month of September, I was bow hunting. So I was kind of out of the loop for really a whole month. No service on the phone. Just, you know, there's a thing called a Garmin InReach where you can get a text message here and there. But other than that, I was checked out.
So you're looking at this Broncos team with, like, some pretty fresh eyes here.
Yeah, I mean, we had all of the whole summer in training camp to really get to know them. But now, you know, I've watched all the games, obviously. But for the most part, you know, I'm not impressed. I'm just not.
Well, how could you be? I mean, if you're just being honest and being real, I mean, the offense, it looks somehow worse from what it's been the last half a decade, which is really hard to do.
Yeah, well, the more that I think about it, the more angry I am that they paid Russell Wilson so much money before he even played a snap of football. Not even a preseason game. And I was an advocate of not playing those guys in a preseason. But to pay him like that when you got guys like Bradley Chubb and Cortland Sutton, who they need to be paid.
Well, you know, Sutton did his deal last year.
He did do his deal last year. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Chubb's in a contract year. But there is a thought out there that Russell Wilson's camp, who is at practice every single day, they've always waited till there was 1 year left on the deal. This time, there was 2 years left on the deal, and they wanted to get a deal done. There is a thought out there that their camp knew that there was going to be some real struggles this season, and to get a deal done now, while his value hadn't really moved, hadn't played a game yet, as opposed to, you know, we'll see what this offense looks like throughout the season, but right now it's averaging 16.5 points a game, which is 29th in the National Football League.
Awful.
Maybe you're not getting that deal that he got this offseason, next offseason, if things don't improve.
Not maybe, definitely. He's definitely not getting that deal if he is 29th in the league. You can't, I don't know, you're getting paid like an elite quarterback. So you have to have an elite offense. You got to be at least top 10, at least.
Well, you know,
you got a long way to go for that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we talked about today is Russell, throughout his career, has been an elevator of everyone around him. And he's had some really good pieces around him, too. But when you think of the hallmarks of an awesome offense, you think of an offensive line. You know, how's your running game? Who's your wide receivers, number one and two? Who's your tight end? Who's your slot receiver? If you went through and asked those questions about the Broncos right now, their offensive line is middling. Their run offense right now, on average, is below the median of the NFL. You, in the most literal sense, do not have a slot receiver. Mm. You have no idea who your tight end. Your starting tight end, week one, which was benched 4 weeks ago, played one snap.
Yeah.
The guy who really should be, from a talent standpoint, wide receiver number one, Jerry Jeudy, is not in the top 50 in the NFL in receiving yards right now. And Cortland Sutton should be one of the best number twos. But he's the number one, and he's a really good player. But when you talk about some of the other number ones in this league, he's not quite there. And that's not a diss to Sutton. That's just me being pragmatic, looking at it without emotion. So the more you start to really sift through the conversation, everything is not right around Russell Wilson. He's not being helped enough, but he's also not being that elevator that he used to be.
What's going on with that fan behind you, by the way?
It was really hot when we first got in here.
What's going on?
It was like boiling when we first got in here.
That's a bad sign right there. Did it get better?
Yes, significantly so.
Okay.
Significantly
but
so.
But you just like the fan.
We just kept it on because it was really hot in here.
It's kept it good. So, go Rockies, huh? Need a...
Dude, they had 65 wins. They need to get to 69 to cover their total.
Uh-huh.
They had 65 wins on September 18th.
Yeah, I know.
Then they get swept. They lose like 11 of like 13. So they, in the most literal sense, need to win their final two games in Los Angeles.
So you're on pins and needles then, huh?
I'm really not. I've already checked out. I'm fully expecting the letdown. It's the Rockies. So.
Like in a very sad way, I sort of knew what the number was when they went on the road trip there to San Francisco for your sake. And so I took I'm not rooting against you, by the way, but I'm just laughing at how they, well, one game in particular, by the way, when they walk five straight guys and they walk six in the ending.
It was seven in the inning.
Seven in the
franchise
inning.
Franchise record.
Right? They're up 4-1. It's the seventh
They're
inning.
They're 4-1.
It was like
seven.
The most, can you imagine Major League Baseball? Seriously, you have Major League Baseball. You can't throw a strike for five straight batters.
Walk. I mean, walk.
It's insane.
Walks.
Like, that's in Major League Baseball. And ZB's, you know, him and Stoke are, you know, they care.
We're in. We're in deep. We're in deep. We're about to make up with the Nuggets. No, fear not.
55?
That's high. I don't think their total's that high. I think it's a little bit lower than that, but I think they could win 55 games.
Pretty exciting environment last night for a freaking preseason game.
Probably the most anticipated preseason game, like, ever. It was like 500-something days. Jamal Murray hadn't played. He looked great.
We'll get you a couple of these. You like hoops at all? Are you into hoops whatsoever? Or?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so.
Baseball is the one that I just can't get into.
Don't worry about it. We got the Mile High Baseball Podcast. Me and Patrick Saunders talk to ourselves. It's on DenverFan.com.
And
you know,
speaking of which,
it's
right
good,
now,
but you know.
Right now, I'm going to sign off the air and go record the Mile High Hoops Podcast. First one this season.
Yeah.
So later this afternoon, if you want to hear a dedicated conversation about a team that is as close to a title as any point in franchise history. You look at the traditional makeups of championship teams, you have to have an elite player, a Hall of Fame caliber player. They have that. You have to have a terrific all-star caliber second-level player, a secondary player. They have that in Jamal Murray. They have the perfect like third and fourth options in MPJ and Aaron Gordon. They have new defensive stoppers in Bruce Brown and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I'm really excited about it. I think that if not now,
I agree.
It's now. It's time.
Yeah,
it's time.
You're right. It is, and I think they just need to stay healthy.
Yes,
that's
if they
can stay healthy, they're going to be.
If they got their dudes when it matters most, they are going to be as formidable in this conference. And by the way, we're living in an era without a super team.
Yeah,
think about the past history of this league. It's super team centric. The NBA right now, and I don't know if like the general population is caught up on this. It's almost like kind of anti super team. It's splintered off. There could be like 5-6 different potential NBA champions this year. It's an exciting time to be a Nuggets fan.
Yeah, because we're just right around the corner from every Avs game, every Nuggets home game is going to be electric because of the expectations and who both teams have. Do you know Peyton Watson at all? Do you
the UCLA 19-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look up Raw in the dictionary, that's who he is.
But his natural, this is a guy who won't even probably be on the team.
No, he'll be in the G League.
Right, but
he's a kid.
Like, their depth and length and the things they have, it's sick what they have right now, to be quite honest with you.
They got a lot going for them, man. They got a lot going for them.
Podcast?
Mile High Hoops.
You're hitting it?
Hopefully be up in an hour from now.
All right. Well, right on. ZB, we appreciate it. We heard from the coordinators today. We'll get to it. First team reps next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.